Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Hey there, all you beautiful babies out there in podcast land. This is episode 171 of Brew, Drink, Run. My name is Lee.
This is Keith.
I'm Raymond.
If this is your first time listening to the show, this is one of our mini episodes. On our mini episodes, we drink one beer and talk about a single, typically beer-related subject. The previous episode and the next episode in your feed will be full episodes where we also talk about homebrewing and running in addition to reviewing two beers. If you like the show, don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you grab your podcast and write a short review. Ratings and reviews are how people find out about the show. Or you can tell a friend by posting about the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. If you do that, tag us at Brew Drink Run. Really quick, a couple of thank yous to at Brady AJ and at CRSimp01 and at Run Sankey Run, all on Instagram, for tagging us in their running training picks and their beer adventures over the last week or so. And a big hello to new listener Nigel from Twitter, who just started listening to the show. I hope he didn't start listening at episode number one.
Yeah.
On today's mini show, we are talking about a single style, and it's a style that is kind of taken on a new bit of prevalence in the craft beer world in the last year or two. Keith, what is our style and what's our beer?
We are going to dive into the concept of the Session IPA, and we have Drake's Brewing Company's Kickback. Their seasonal, it says a seasonal release on this. Comes in at 4.3% alcohol by volume, but also with a fairly sturdy 51 IBUs, so got your bitterness in there. It says it's an easygoing hoppy Session IPA brewed with some of our favorite newfangled hops. For luscious aroma of, well, we won't get into that. We will determine what this smells like. But as the name of the beer, Kickback, this is apparently they're going to give back a portion of the money made from this to help support trail restoration and cleanup programs at Bay Area parks. So this is California San Leandro.
Right? Okay. San Leandro, maybe.
I'm guessing Bay Area. I guess that's near Oakland and San Francisco, maybe.
Yeah, sounds like a thing.
So bottled on 6/2/17, so relatively fresh. We are drinking this just as the calendar has turned into July. So we're looking at a month old beer, quite literally. Today is the 2nd. So as we're drinking this, so there you have it. That's what we got. Little Session IPA.
Big thanks to Drake's for sending this to us for review. It's always nice when breweries reach out and want to share their product. The bottle, this is a 12-ounce bottle here that we've got in front of us. Describe the label art for us, Raymond.
All right. Two things struck me about this. It has a very kind of beachy palette to it, kind of bleached out colors a little bit. It feels like things have been out in the sun for a little bit. Also, the text for Kickback feels very much like a 70s TV show logo to me. So I am calling this the beer label equivalent of the Brady Bunch Hawaiian episode.
Yes, I was going to say, very Hawaiian color scheme and that font. It does make you think of tiki stuff.
Tiki, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Tiki is what it is. And in our glasses, it's a really nice, fairly clear golden beer. I mean, it's I feel like it's ticking some boxes on what my brain might go to when I'm thinking about a hot summertime, thirst quenching a beer I may want to have more than one of out by the pool.
Yeah, I mean, it's slightly hazy in color, but I mean, it's for the most part, I would say, you know, appropriately so. You know, it's not perfectly clear, but that's okay. And aroma wise, I mean, having already smelled and sampled a little bit of this, this is really hits all of what you're looking for in that Session IPA. It's got nice kind of bright, you know, citrusy, you know, kind of aroma to it. You got a little bit of that pine hop going on in there.
The aroma is great. Really, I mean, it's super appealing.
A little bit of
appealing.
Kind of mango and citrus and those kinds of things. So it's got this big, bold aroma. Then you get into the taste a little bit, and it kind of tones that back a little bit on the hop. You definitely get the bitterness. You get some of that kind of grassy, earthy, spicy flavor that's going on there. Malt bill obviously isn't going to be huge if you're going for a lower ABV feel. Or I'm sorry, ABV beer. So you're looking at, maybe to me, more of like a more crackery, maybe a touch biscuity kind of malt, but you're not getting that big kind of rich, dense caramel you get in some IPAs. So.
Yeah, of course. I think that the expectation here is that with the lower alcohol, like you said, it means a less strong malt backing it up. And we've had some session IPAs that I feel like are really like hop water. You know, like it is like just really astringent. You get the bitterness or the pininess or the tang from the hop and not a lot else. I mean, just really super thin. I feel like with this, you do get, like you said, some of those extra elements that make it more robust than that. And I get a little bit of the sweet fruit in there, too. Just a little bit of something like a mango, not a big tropical like a pineapple or anything like that, but something more meaty. Of a fruit in there as well. So I feel like this is really ticking off a lot of those boxes of what a summertime session IPA can be.
I agree. I mean, it's refreshing. It's easy to drink. And it gives you more of that kind of flavor punch that you're looking for in an IPA. I don't feel it strays too far from the pack, and I'm not sure with this style that there's a way to do that. You know, I don't. It's like trying to differentiate your Pilsner from it just depends on the kind of ingredients in the water and maybe some of your hop choices. But you know, you don't really want that style to stray too far. And session IPAs and hoppy pale ales, whatever you want to call them, they all kind of end up in the same boat. And I think what you hit on that makes some better than others is that sense of having some of the malt backbone, even in a lower ABV beer, to kind of balance out the hop. So it isn't just, wet hoppy water, with a little bit of alcohol in it. But this is good. Yeah, I could totally see like by the pool or out at the beach or something like that. I mean, perfect complement to really hot weather.
Drake's located in California, the San Leandro area, like we said. Drake started back in 1989. That's like a dinosaur in craft beer age.
I mean, I'm not even really that familiar with the brewery, so.
The dog does. The dog is telling us that we...
I'm sorry. I must have offended Pepper with my knowledge of Drake's brewing company. I apologize, Pepper. I'll do more research.
Seem to have a really impressive facility out there. So I'm not sure, again, it's not something that's distributed to us in Georgia where we are. And so I'm not sure exactly what their overall footprint is. But for people who don't have access to Drake's Kickback Session IPA, what are some of the other Session IPAs that maybe we could point people toward?
Well, everyone seems to kind of have one right now. And honestly, I feel like they all kind of blend into one thing. I would say that my go-tos generally are Founders All Day. I pick that one up a lot, but it's also available in a 15-pack can, and it's easy to go. I always really liked the 21st Amendment. They do one called Down to Earth, but they have the Pale Ale that came out before it. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. I always really enjoyed that beer. I thought it had a great flavor profile. Man, I wish I could remember the name of it off the top of my head. But anyways, it's one of those beers that, was one of the first ones that I remember coming out where I said, wow, something that is, under 5% that had a big, bold, flavor profile to it. But I kind of go for All Day usually. Yep. It's almost available seemingly everywhere, especially at this time of year. You guys have one that you gravitate to?
All Day is the one that I like as well. Lately, I mean, the ones that I've seen, I know that Sam Adams makes one. Like a lot of breweries you're not going to have trouble finding one.
But no, for session one IPAs are kind of everywhere right now.
A super strong recommendation. I mean, Sweetwater did what? Hash was their session IPA they did. So anyway, there are a lot of these out there and available, but for me, All Day is the one, and one of the longer pedigrees too with this, with a beer that's marketing itself as being a low ABV IPA for this kind of session purpose. It was one of the first that I really remember being marketed and pushed that way.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not the first, but it's one of the first that I remember out there, and it's starting to add the idea of a session beer to the conversation.
Yeah.
And so in a session beer, really all we're talking about is a lower ABV. Typically, it's going to be around five or less. You see some in the threes, and you do see some in the low fives maybe that are kind of trying to get away with it.
Yeah.
But that may be kind of pushing the envelope.
I think that for people who have been drinking a lot of craft beer, let's say between 10 and 5 years ago, if you put out, they would consider a beer 6% as a session beer. Mm. If you're consuming a whole bunch of, you know, double IPAs and Imperial Stouts and that kind of thing.
Right.
But technically, yeah, you're talking, you know, probably between, you know, 3 and 5% is what, you know, people consider a sessionable beer. Not, and that's mainly because you don't see a lot of beers under 3%. I mean, I know there's, you know, your Kvass and some odd styles that are super, super low, but you just don't see a lot of, you know, 2.7% beers out there in the market. So, you know, there's a lot of styles that could be considered sessionable beers or session beers that have been around for a long time. You know, usually your Goza, which we've talked about before, or, you know, your Grisettes, or a lot of Saisons can come in kind of low like that too. I mean, they're kind of all over the board. So there's a lot of beers out there that are session beers. I think the IPA craze, when it really hit a few years later, created a place where people wanted to be able to drink, you know, at the outdoor barbecue, but not have 7.5 IPAs, but that's what they wanted to drink. That's what they were into. So I think the demand kind of created the product in this case.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing. Like, why did this even become a thing? I think at the time I was being very cynical and was like, oh, how can we make our dollar go further? I know how. We can use less ingredients.
Right. Yeah.
and we can produce this other beer that's basically the same as an IPA we're already make, or a beer that is already on the docket, but we just, you know, used fewer ingredients.
Right.
And now we have this other beer. We didn't buy enough of our grain bill for this this brew cycle. So let's see what we can get away with. But it does kind of seem that there has been a response from the beer drinking community that I think I was probably caught off guard by, because all of a sudden other breweries were doing it. You started seeing so many breweries having at least one beer marketed as a session beer in their line.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these breweries would maybe have a just over 5% wit beer or something like that on their docket. But now they are actively looking to push that lower, you know, to have something that falls in that other category. And the only reason for that would be that people are looking for it and people are buying it. So, you know, my beer journey, and I think for a lot of people, is that you're kind of, you know, maybe at some point you've had a good bit of alcohol experience. You know, you've had mixed drinks, you've had liquors, you've had, you know, different types of beer. And so you have certain types of expectations when you're drinking and what it is that you're associating with. And for me, it did come from like kind of like the bourbon whiskey kind of a thing. So I naturally gravitated toward barrel aged or higher ABV, ones that simulated different types of mouthfeel or alcohol intensity or burn. But it is interesting to see that kind of also the pendulum swings both ways, that there are people who are just like, man, I really like the way beer tastes. I want to sit around and drink a classic kind of IPA beer, but I might like to sit around all day and drink a couple, watching a game by the pool, after mowing the grass, and not have be knocked out.
I bought into it right away.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think a lot of the beers that I would enjoy were so big that they were shortening my days. I was saying, all right, I'm done. I think I need to go, you know, take a little nap right now. So it was nice when these beers started to come out, and even more so now as the past couple of years have gone by. I'm more inclined to, you know, pick up a six pack where I wasn't before, or be like, oh, I really like this beer is quite good, and it's only 4.5%. I can get a few of these and knock them back. And I took to it right away. I didn't think about it in those terms of like bang for my buck or something like that. I wanted to be able to enjoy good beer, but sometimes you want to do it on a mass scale, as opposed to having a couple of big ones and then calling it a night. So I don't know. I kind of like the idea. How about you, Raymond?
The idea of them. I'm like you guys, pick up Founders. That's my go-to. But I jumped into them as well because it's just I'd particularly on days like that, it can be so hot around here that I just want something light and something that's not going to be heavy and
And sure. It's nice to have something to think about rather than just saying, oh, I'm going to suck down a low ABV beer. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have for us to be able to go, oh, there's a little bit of sweet flavor. Maybe not quite. I mean, we're sitting here analyzing a 4.3% beer.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have that complexity. And then after you kind of get the experience to go, all right, well, now I'm going to sit outside in front of the grill and entertain my friends. And I can serve them something that I have faith that they're going to enjoy because it has a good quality taste to it. But it's also going to keep them on an even keel and me as well. So I think it's a great idea. Ultimately, I can understand the early pessimism maybe from some like hardcore, you know, beer fans or craft beer fans.
Yeah, no. I do think that goes back to this beer we're drinking. The kickback is that as we're continuing to drink it, I'm continuing to get different things. I mean, I feel like kind of that lemongrassy kind of note that maybe was earlier. I feel like that's a little bit more prevalent now. Yeah. I feel like there's a little bit of a lemon tartness to it. I really like the light mouthfeel on this. I feel like it's a really nice kind of just crushable beer that you do get a lot of flavor and a lot of moderate intensity on.
Yeah.
I feel like there are definitely some edges that stick out in a good way.
I mean, it's a whole other debate as to whether or not these are really IPAs. You could go down that path, and I'm sure some people have passionate opinions one way or the other. Personally, I find that call it what you want. You can call it a pale ale, hoppy thing. You can call it just, you know, good session beer, and that's all you label it. Tastes good, looks good, you know, smells good, you know, go for it. It's a good everyday drinking kind of thing.
Raymond, you ready to play a game?
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
We're going back in time. Keith's spreadsheet. Let's do this.
All right, this is Keith's spreadsheet, our little game here on our short episodes where I pull up a review from Keith's Epic Beer Hads spreadsheet, find a review, read the review, and see if Raymond can guess what it is. He is nervously peeling the label off of the Drake's bottle right now.
This is the kind of label I loved back when I was collecting bottles for homebrewing.
Because they come right off.
There's no cleaning at all.
Yeah, they're that kind of underlay metallic. What is it called? There's like a perloid. There's some name for that kind of. It's a very nice label, and it does come off very easily. All right, this review from the spreadsheet. I'm gonna leave out some keywords here from the beginning, and let's see if you can put it together, Raymond.
Okay.
The pour is slightly hazy, brownish gold color, and a nice off-white head. A bit of an odd aroma with some sweet malt and a little out-of-place note of tart peaches. This is one interesting-tasting beer. The oats make a huge impact in the taste with a big toasted oatmeal flavor that is mixing with a bold malt profile. A strong citrus and earthy hop flavor is coming from a collection of Mosaic, Citra, and Amarillo. The toasted oats return on the finish, which might be just a bit too much of a good thing. Easily the biggest mouthfeel I've ever felt on a beer under 5% ABV. Some really good and a little not so good for me with this one, but absolutely one of the most unique American pale ales to come out in recent years. 3 out of 5, B.
It's a pale ale?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Under 5% ABV, so I felt like it fit in our discussion. All day. It is not Founders All Day.
Nope, it is not. I knew this one. It took a couple of sentences, but I remember this one.
Oh, I think that when I started talking about oats, it's probably the first sentence here is the first two sentences. American Pale Ale, 4.3% ABV, just the perfect name for a Michigan brewery that brewed up a session ale with oats.
Oh, that strikes a chord, but it's not coming to me.
Michigan breweries, one that we see a lot of here.
The other really big Michigan brewery.
Yeah,
other big Michigan.
So you got Founders, and then there's another one that's like the big one, been around forever. We seek out one of their double IPAs with fervor at the beginning of every year.
I'm drawing a blank, guys.
It is Bell's Oatsmobile. I know, it's a great name for a beer though.
It was, and it was not. I remember it not being what I expected, but mm-hmm. finding it enjoyable. But when I thought about just, do I really want to drink down six of these at a time? I'm like, I don't know. It's an interesting one. I'm not sure if it's still in their lineup or not. If they gave it a try, there was a big push. I remember. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of everywhere, and I think they were buying up ad space on all of the websites and stuff that would promoting beer in one way or another. So,
yeah, I was gonna say, I don't remember running those. Well, ads, I mean, but yeah, sure.
I said the big websites.
Thanks. I appreciate that clarity. All right. Well, I want to thank Drake's once again for sending this to us. This is a really neat beer. You can find out more about Drake's by going to drinkdrakes.com. Find out about some food pairings that they suggest with the kickback. Learn about the other beers in their portfolio, including their oak and cask programs, and check them out. I definitely, when I will be traveling, I will be looking for their beers on shelves to see what other kind of goodies that they make. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. You can follow us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, all at Brew Drink Run. We're also on Untappd if you want to give us a follow there. If you want to be a part of the show, you can email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com. Let us know about your home brewing, your running training, or your favorite place to grab a beer. Instead of emailing us, you can also call us, 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465, and leave us a voicemail there. We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts and technical running shirts available at our website. Click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by our friends at Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you around. Later.
Cheers.